Father, we're gathering around your word just to hear something from you. Lord, we can't leave this place until we each hear your voice speaking to our hearts. Speak, Lord, for your servants are listening. Amen. Amen. The last time that we had the opportunity to share together, we were looking in the book of Luke. And if you have your Bibles, please turn to the book of Luke. We're going to just spend a few moments in there. Luke chapter 15. This is a chapter in which Luke records that Jesus was having some difficulty with some of the religious leaders of his day because they didn't like the fact that Jesus spent a lot of time talking and eating and fellowshipping with undesirable people. People who didn't make the grade. People who were on the wrong side of life. In fact, they accused Jesus. They said, "What's wrong with him?" he says. They asked, "Why is it that he eats? He eats with sinners. He welcomes sinners." Jesus had a habit of associating with those who the religious leaders said you shouldn't touch. In response to the accusation, Jesus tells a three-part story. Last time we looked at the first section, which was about a shepherd who lost a sheep. And we just made three observations. The first was that the lost, that's the sinner, still belongs to God. Remember, the lost still belongs to God. Second thing we learned was that God's greatest effort is extended on behalf of those who are furthest away. We have a God who spends most effort on those who are furthest from Him. Are you close to God today? Or are you far away? If you're far away, I want you to know that God is expending His greatest effort to find you. Third thing, when we turn to God, heaven rejoices greatly. Today we're going to move on to the next section. I thank my son for reading this morning. I have to thank him twice because he's a little older today. It's his birthday. Praise God. Amen. And he's not alone. He's not alone. He shares a birthday with Bridget's husband, Malcolm. It's also his birthday too. So we wish them the Lord's blessing today as they start another journey around the sun. Isn't that right, Brother Telosi? All right. So today we're going to look at the second section, which is found, as my son read, in Luke chapter 15 and verse 8, and I'm 7 minutes to go. Or suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Does she not light a lamp, sweep the house, search carefully till she finds it? When she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbors and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost coin." In the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Today we're going to look at this next illustration that Jesus chose. Something from everyday common life to tell a story that would reach all the way to eternity. And we're going to entitle it, "Too Valuable to Lose." Too Valuable to Lose. I want to ask you, what is too valuable for you to lose? I have a list here, and it runs from the trivial to the profound. I hope that somewhere in there you will be. I don't need to see your hands, but is the thing that is too valuable for you to lose perhaps your mobile phone, your iPad, the TV remote, the car, the house, your education? What about your degrees? Maybe it's your social status, your job, your family, your reputation, your character, your morals, or even your salvation. What is it that's too valuable for you to lose? In this story, there was a woman who had 10 silver coins, and tradition has it that these 10 silver coins may have represented the gift that she was given on her wedding day, a dowry. It represented the symbols of her marriage. Well, if that's correct, then the coins were important for this woman's identity and her standing in society. She simply couldn't let it be known that she had lost a part of her dowry. Theft would have been more acceptable. than to lose it in her own house. Do you understand? It was unthinkable that she could go out without her dowry being safe and secure. We can understand that today, can't we? All right, let me paraphrase the parable for you. Which woman of you, if you lost your wedding ring, would not? You get it now?
Yes.
All right. So in any event, it was clear that what was at stake here was more than just the monetary value. There was something more significant. And what resulted was an urgent search that apparently continued into the night because she lit a lamp. And in this search, it involved an inch by inch finger search of her house. There was nothing left unturned and no corner was left unexplored. It was hard for that coin to stay lost as long as this woman had breath. Yeah? When at last the coin was found, she called her friends and neighbors. And in Jesus' time, it was likely that she would have called her female friends. Yes? The women of the village would have been called together. And she would have had a party with them. She would have said, "You know what happened to me? I lost my dowry." And they would have understood instantly what she was talking about. And they would have been able to identify with her joy. And they rejoiced with her. In the same way, Jesus says that there is rejoicing in heaven amongst the angels. Why the angels? Because those are the ones who will naturally understand the mind of God. They will understand what God is talking about when he talks about receiving back something that was lost. They are one in sympathy with him, just like the women's village friends would be in sympathy with her. Once again, in this section, we notice that the emphasis is on the one who is searching more than it is on that which was lost. There are more words devoted to the woman's actions than there are to the coin. So what lessons can we draw today? I told you 10 minutes. I have 3 remaining. 2 lessons for you. First, the sinner, like the lost coin, is too valuable to lose, but unlike the coin, must choose to be found. Do you consider yourself valuable? Do you? Romans chapter 5, verse 6 to 8 tells us what God thought about us when he knew what we were really like. You see, we all have a view of ourselves that's quite flattering. Isn't that true? Yeah? In our own eyes, we can see all our best qualities. Yeah? We get upset when other people don't see us like we see ourselves. Yeah? We get even more upset when they don't see us like we think we should be seen. Even though we know the truth is different. Isn't that true? Romans chapter 5 verses 6 to 8 tell us something about how God sees us. You see, just at the right time when we were still powerless, you see, Christ knew we were powerless. He died for the ungodly. Did he say he died for the godly? No, the ungodly. He died for those who didn't deserve his death. He knows what we were like and he still died for us. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in that while we were still what? Christ died for us. You see, we have a God who isn't blind to the reality of what we are. He knows we're sinners, but he still died for us. That's how valuable you are. Even before we were conscious of our need, Jesus was searching for us. And in this parable, the woman turned the house upside down and inside out to find a coin, and it was found. But it's not so with you and me. God has indeed turned heaven upside down and inside out. He poured Jesus out as an offering for you and for me. But we have to choose to be found. We can say, "No, thank you. I didn't ask you to pour out heaven for me. I didn't ask you to come searching for me. I didn't ask you to value me when I was worth nothing. I'd rather stay lost." Who in their right mind would make such a choice? You would say no one, right? Because that's the answer. But the Bible tells me that it's not so simple. Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. We're wrapping up now. Matthew 7, 13 and 14 says, "Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it." You say it would be a fool who would turn down the offer that Jesus is giving you? The Bible tells me most people will turn him down. Second, the rejoicing once we repent outweighs the pain and suffering of the search, but it never makes it cheap. When the woman called her friend, she concentrated on the joy of finding her coin. She didn't have a pity party. Yeah? "Oh, I searched all night for this. Look at my hands and my feet. And I turned the house upside down. I've lost so much earnings. And I spent so much oil. And eventually I found this coin. And you know, I put so much effort in for it. And I'm not really sure whether it was worth it." She didn't do that, did she? Yeah? She said, "Rejoice with me because my coin has been found." Yeah? What she went through was as nothing compared to the joy of having her coin. Hebrews 12:2 tells us something about how Jesus views us. Hebrews 12 and verse 2 tells us that Jesus was willing for the joy set before him to endure the cross, scorning the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. You see, Jesus was willing to go through the pain of the cross for the joy of seeing you and me in the kingdom. For the joy of knowing that it would lead to our salvation. If anyone had the right to concentrate on the cost of finding what was lost, it would be Jesus. But he doesn't. He sets before us the joy that there is in heaven when we turn to him. The rejoicing in heaven doesn't mean that the suffering of Jesus was trivial. On the contrary, the angels rejoice because when we repent, we say to the whole universe that the death of Jesus was not in vain. Amen. It was worth it. How careful we must be then to make sure that we don't take Jesus lightly. Hebrews 10, 26, 27, my last text. This tells us, if we deliberately keep on sinning after we have received the knowledge of the truth, no sacrifice for sin is left, but only a fearful expectation of judgment and of raging fire that will consume the enemies of God. If Jesus does not become too valuable to lose for you and for me, then we will lose everything. So where are you today? Are you aware that a rescue mission has been launched for you from heaven? Have you realized that Jesus considers you too valuable to lose, and as a result, he emptied all of heaven just to find you? Do you know that heavenly beings are watching to see how you will respond to Jesus' death for your sins, so that you need not die? Is there rejoicing about you in heaven? Because at least for you, Jesus did not die in vain. Where are you today? We're going to sing to close a hymn 282. And as is my custom, and I'm not going to change, when we open the Word of God, there has to be an opportunity for you to respond. And so that question remains, where are you today? I'm going to ask Hannah if she would come, and we're going to sing that hymn, 282. I hear thy welcome voice that calls me, Lord, to thee. And I want you to consider, what are you hearing from the Word of God today? If you hear him saying that you are too valuable to lose, then I invite you to make a response. Make a decision. Take a stand. Tell the waiting universe that Jesus didn't die in vain. And if it's your desire to make something of that decision, then come forward and join me. Let not this opportunity pass you by. Let not this opportunity pass you by. Life is uncertain. We don't know what tomorrow, we don't even know what this afternoon will bring. I am coming, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
Coming, Lord, to Thee. Wash me, cleanse me in the blood that flows from Calvary. Let's bow our heads. Our Father, we thank You that You chose to value us so highly that You left heaven to find us. Lord, we are amazed by a love that would empty all of heaven just to find me and just to find us. Lord, it seems to us incredible that anyone would say no. And yet still we know how hard it is, Lord, for us to repent. To say, Lord, I give up going my own way and I want to go Your way. But today, Lord, we stand before You and some have come to the front to say that what You did for us, Lord, was not in vain. We want to be Yours and Yours alone. We thank You, Lord, that You said there is rejoicing in heaven when we turn to You. There's rejoicing because the death of Jesus was not in vain. Thank You, Lord. Thank You for what You have done. Thank You for what You will do. Thank You, and we give You all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.